What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two-Time in the house. What's up, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
What up? It's your girl, Sammy Joe.
Hey, this is Jules.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Oh, shoot, Salty Saul. What's cracking over there in the PA right now? What's good?
We had a heat wave.
92 degrees?
Or did you get to 65?
It was 89, and it felt like 100, apparently, but I was enjoying the weather, man. I'm like... It was funny that people out here are complaining about it. I'm like, enjoy it. Like, we get winter for like 8 months, and now you're like, you have nothing to complain about. Relax. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on this episode of The Salty Show, we're going to try to avoid politics as much as we can. Despite everything that's happening, the economy is going on a downturn. Biden's losing his mind. We're going to avoid it, all of that. And we're going to focus on male-female issues. Samantha has brought in some topics that I think are going to create maybe some, wreak some havoc among friendships, if you know what I mean.
No, is the studio going to burn, Saul? Is the studio going to burn to the ground?
No, hopefully not. Look, guys, I say this every time we talk about male-female issues. We're thinking aloud here. We are trying to work our way through some of these conversations, some of these topics. So bear with us. But I think these are conversations that need to happen to kind of shrink that divide between men and women. All right, folks, all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show.
You might not want to use that word shrink too loosely. You know what I'm saying? As we're talking male, female, you know what I'm saying?
His size matters.
Girth, baby.
You're just
turning Timmy down.
There you go.
And we started
gross,
off with
all of the above.
We're about to lose it. We're about to lose all three listeners that we have on the show because exactly. It's going to get dirty.
But before we begin, as we do on every episode, Heidi is going to give us some few words of wisdom before all hell breaks loose.
So I just said a prayer.
Heidi, what do you got for us today? She's got her book. I love that book. It's got a lot of wisdom.
This is even a different book. I've been pulling from like three or four different books. Right so on. This book is 100 Things to Always Remember and One Thing to Never Forget.
Who's the author?
By Douglas Pagels.
Pagels?
Yeah, it's like bagels, Kegels? But Pagels.
I'm doing them right now.
Schmeagles? Kegels?
What the?
That was awesome. All right. On that note. Okay.
If you had kids, you know.
Tim is dry heaving now.
I think baby number three just fell out of her.
Okay, dust on the bottle. Dust on the long neck. Or short neck. I don't know.
Whoa, wow.
I don't know.
It's just a wide neck.
Oh my God.
Heidi, we need
all
some
right,
healing.
We need some healing. Holy cow.
Jesus in my
before
life.
This spins out, wait, hold on. I got you.
Oh. Holy water.
Jesus.
Genuine.
Break him down before you bring him up.
Look at it.
All right, here we go. Whew. Here is some gentle wisdom that will get you through just about anything. Appreciate with all your heart the best of life. Do everything within your power to pass the tests of life and learn how to live for the rest of your life.
That was it?
Yeah, it was short and sweet.
Read it one more time.
I think you have to read it again.
Yeah,
I was catching my breath there.
He was not paying attention at all.
Okay.
I dropped something on the floor and I did not pick it up. When I came back up, it was over. So could you do it again?
Oh, no. Oh, Jesus. What's happening? Somebody take the book. I'll read it.
Next.
Oh, Lord.
Here is some gentle words. Here is some gentle wisdom that will get you through just about anything. Appreciate with all your heart the best of life. Do everything within your power to pass the tests of life and learn how to live with the rest of life.
Mm. Okay, I'll say this. Okay, now that I have time to process this.
Now that I didn't hear it for the second time.
No.
Shut
Look,
up.
The first part of that appreciation, yes. I think gratitude goes a long way.
Oh,
be grateful for life. Be grateful for your health. Grateful people, Dennis Prager says this all the time, grateful people are happy people. I believe that. it's people who are unhappy, that are not grateful. They live in luxury in the most prosperous country in the world, and yet why does the internet not connect? My life is ruined. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, no, I'm a fan of that. Gratitude, it goes a long way and towards happiness. So I agree. Good job, Heidi.
Well, and I think the other part of it, passing those tests that life gives us a whole bunch of tests that we have to make a decision on, and we're either going to give up or we're going to, you know, go out there and try and get the best win that we can with what's given to us. And taking those tests and living that life and then remembering in the future. And that can be applied to more than just our own personal lives, but to history. You know, history repeats itself. It's been proven for hundreds of years, centuries, right? So paying attention to all of those things that have happened in the past, whether it's to yourself or to somebody else that's in a book or whatever the case may be, and learn from that so that tomorrow, maybe we have better answers. Maybe we don't make the same mistakes. And so I think that one's, you know, a big one too, is just take those tests in life and learn, like it says, learn how to live for the rest of your life.
Amen.
You know, it's interesting because, like, as you read that the second time, you know, take two, I was thinking about my aunt, right? Yeah. Well, my aunt just passed, but,
sorry to hear that, man.
But, you know, everything she did, right? Having six kids and all those little things she learned, and then building her house and her family and all that, and then dealing with, you know, her cancer and my grandfather, my uncle's cancer and all that. And just, but no matter what, she never complained, always had a smile, and she learned from it. You know what I mean? Like, it made her stronger, right? Because, like, when my uncle passed, he did everything. So, like, she had to, you know, take those things that he did, and, you know, she did it, never complained. She learned, and then she got sick, and you would never know. You know what I mean? And I think lessons like that, even, right? Even from, it's not always about the lessons of, like, you know, don't touch the hot stove. It's also just the lessons of seeing people go through and stuff and saying, you know what? You can get through, you know, you be grateful for what you have around you. You know, no matter what your situation is, right? Whether you're sick, happy, whatever, you be grateful for what you have and learn from it, you know, and grow. Don't be a shithead. You know what I mean? I know there's more to it, but, you know, I just rambling on, but there's a lot to that. Even, you know, when you see people going through their struggles. You know?
I was going to say, you know how, like, it's like maybe like cliche or whatever, and they're like, have an attitude of gratitude. But, like, truly, you know, with journaling, whether you're like a guy or a girl or like the books that came out, if every day you like just took a second and maybe didn't have to actually journal it, but just thought to yourself and put it on your mirror or something and say, like, what am I grateful for? It really is an act of, like, not only like self-love, but of that like community and of that collective, like the universal collective, to say, okay, like, what am I grateful for? And for you to really like sit back and think, like, okay, pick something, because we sit in so much negativity and we also like forget the simple things that might be just that we just need a reminder. So mm-hmm. when you do that every day, I know I have a journal and it says, like, at the very top of it, it's like happy planner or something. And it's like, what are you grateful? And every day I have to like write something up there. And, you know, sometimes like shit, it's hard. I'm like, oh, I'm not grateful for anything. And it's so silly when I really think that, but it's because of the mindset that I'm in. But like days that I'm really great, it's just like, it could be like the birds singing, you know, it could be anything that just like makes you feel joy. But I think connecting to that is the point that it's making, where it's like, where is your mindset? And being like, hey, like, you can focus on the negative. Nelson, you told me the story about like your car one time, mm-hmm. and how you were like at AAA, had to like pick you up. And you're like, I could have been, no, like that, who came and picked him up, could have been like upset. But he was like, I just was chill. And like your day was so happy and it didn't crush you because you had that look, that outlet, you know,
well,
that outlook
to
it was like, hey, it's all good. Like, no big deal. And like, it didn't ruin your day.
Right. That's bullshit thing. Because you know what? When he blew up his 350Z and he's calling me up, he's like, son of a bitch, I changed the spark plug and you take me to the store, my car blew up, now I gotta buy a whole new car.
Maybe after he had that, does that sound like me at all?
Does that sound like me at all?
No, it sounds like, it does sound like Tim.
Oh,
it sounds
no,
like
I
Tim.
Am.
It sounds like Tim putting his on
that's
you.
Exactly.
I was like, when he called me, he was all like, oh yeah, can you come get me? No big deal, my car, I'm cool. But like,
Yeah.
He's like, this shit.
He'd been drinking at that point.
Yeah, no, yeah. Like, stop it. Yeah.
Heat exhaustion kicked in.
His whole car blew up.
He got away from Tim. That's what happened. I'll tell you this.
So this weekend, I did a little road trip to Ohio. And before I went, you know, yeah, you do the whatever, all the regular check and make sure that your car is good and everything. So I went to, was that Valvoline, you know, that quick oil change and all that, they check all the stuff. And, you know, I had my tires rotated, all that stuff. But when I got there, I was like 10th in line. And, you know, these places are supposed to be quick, but an hour and a half later, I'm still there. But it was a beautiful day. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to get outside my car and be like, yeah, I'll just chill here and wait it out. And whereas I could see people in their car reeling, and they're like, oh my God, you know, like really upset. And I'm like, why do you let something get you down? Like, you know,
it's out of your control.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And like, and it's a beautiful day. The clouds are out. I'm like, why not just enjoy the day? So I got out of my car and, you know, vaped a little bit and I was out there.
And that is looking for things to be grateful for, to be enjoy of, you know?
And you know,
change your whole fucking day.
You know, getting away from the politics for a little bit, but all this shit that's around us, it is all out of our control, right? We could talk about it till we're blue in the face. We're not the ones signing the check, you know, signing the, you know, the bills. We're not the ones in Congress, you know, we're doing none of it. We're just talking about it because it affects us, right? And we try to educate people. But the politics, you need to be aware, but if people can kind of put that aside, life is actually not that bad. I mean, take away, you know, the inflation and everything, but look at like the bright side of life, really not that bad. You know what I mean? Like if you look at positivity, if more people were positive, a lot of this stuff doesn't matter because it really is out of your control. Almost every single thing is out of our control.
Yep. Yep.
And you can only, you know, control what's in your space.
True. I agree. I agree. Good. It was short and sweet, Heidi, but it was important to say, and I love it.
We had to do it twice.
All right.
And it brought great laughter that I definitely needed the healing with. Oh, my gosh.
It's going to end up on the cutting room floor, but you know what I mean?
Why? Oh, my gosh. Other people will laugh with us.
People can't see our reactions, but we'll see. All right.
Put it on YouTube.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get down to this. Now, Samantha, did you want me to introduce? Because we have, you chose two topics. The first one was looks over better than or versus smarts or... And then the other one was, does crazy equal hot?
Yeah. You know, they have that crazy hot matrix, but it's also more like, you know, hey, like, do men, we're just coming through with the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp scenario. And you get to thinking probably, men, about like the women who've been in your life. And do you have better sex with emotionally unstable women?
Jesus.
You know?
We're going to get right there. So do we want to talk about that one first or which one do we want to talk about first? Crazy.
Jeremy's got thoughts. Look at that. Like the,
Jeremy's like,
he's
well,
got the head tilt and everything.
Conversation we've ever heard Jeremy talk in this entire podcast.
Well, they're all crazy. So.
When I put the do men have better sex with emotionally unstable women? When I put that into my Google box here, it popped up with Asian websites.
You're disturbed.
So, wait, what?
Wow. I am not kidding. The very first website, and it's an Asian website. I was like, whoa.
Oh, wait, are they pregnant Asians?
I didn't open anything. I just saw it was coming out of an Asian.
Well, you know, also, nothing is one-sided. So we're going to have to unpack this because, you know, I have feelings about, like, what are we deeming emotionally unstable? We got to...
There's both ways for women because you guys like emotionally unstable guys because I've seen you
date. Yeah, I was just going to say that. Do we do it for both? Like, do women... have better sex with emotional men or
I got a question too.
Look, we've been talking about crazy, but I think to Samantha's point here is if we're going to unpack this, we need to define these terms because Jeremy was saying all women are crazy, but okay, well, let's define this. What do you mean by crazy? What would define it? It mood swings, sporadic, aggressive, controlling, manipulative, narcissist. What do we mean by when we say crazy?
Yeah, the criteria of that question needs to be narrowed down.
Yeah.
Right.
What is a woman?
They have an X and an X chromosome.
Holy water. Holy water.
Stop it. So I guess let's define those terms. So are we in agreement that what are we talking about with crazy? Because if we're going to apply it to both men and women.
Yeah. So I guess should we, let's ask the women in the room, and Jules, you can pipe in as well. What do you consider a crazy woman?
I think, you know, if we take out the term crazy and just talk about emotionally unstable.
Crazy.
Because I think when you are emotionally mature, you are going to have characteristics to like see a situation. Maybe you can, you're going to still get triggered and react. Everyone, we're all human. Something's going to happen, but it's the ability to like pivot, to turn around, to like collect, to then say, okay, wow, I just blew that out of proportion. Do that self-reflection, have some like, I don't know, self-awareness, all those pieces. And there's some people who don't have any of that, who will be like, we're off on the, you know,
balls to the wall.
Balls to the wall. It's crazy. Yep. And it's not just even in that moment. It's like later, like.
You're not defining anything. So,
down the line being like, oh no, still on that same, like, that's emotionally unstable. So
I want to throw an example out there. Let's say you're at the bar with this girl.
Mm-hmm.
And
examples, yeah.
She goes to the bathroom. And while she's in the bathroom, your sister walks up and starts talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes out of the bathroom and sees you talking to another woman, mm-hmm, and loses her shit.
Goes
from,
full on Karen?
Is that what happened?
Goes full Karen?
When you guys met?
No.
No,
oh my God.
No. No, I'm asking.
Right?
I don't have a sister. So no, it's just
hypothetical.
It's a hypothetical, man. Shut up. So and that argument proceeds the rest of the night and into the next morning. Is that what you consider emotionally unstable?
That's jealousy.
That's jealousy.
That's tough because like there's obviously like some trauma. There's insecure, some trauma there that you're then
so
like.
Throw the term
there's
out
insecurity there
so
though
insecurity.
Too.
So insecurity can be.
And then you can't make it. You're drinking, and that's gonna hype.
Yeah.
Like
still didn't define it.
Okay, so wait, hold on. Let me see if I can unpack this and forgive me because I am thinking out loud, so a lot of this might be gibberish.
Mansplaining.
But exactly.
He's gonna mansplain it. But he got mansplained what a crazy woman is to women.
Okay.
Don't worry, we'll correct you.
Yeah, exactly. We'll think out loud here and I'll correct you guys back. Great. So here's what I'm gonna say is I think when men apply that that description to women, I think we do it when we mean that we can't relate to a woman's heightened expressions of her emotion. I think that's what we mean. And is it because we lack? I'm going to use a word here that a lot of that is being words that are now trigger words for a lot of people. Do we lack emotional intelligence? Because you know of the sexes, women are more likely attached or in line with their emotions, more connected with them. So if men lack this emotional intelligence, is that why we then say, why is she acting this way? That's out of control, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So what are you going to say, Heidi? Sorry.
Okay. So I'm like, fine, let's look it up. What is an emotionally unstable person? And of course the picture is hold on. There's a picture of what looks like maybe a teenager because it's a young woman with like blonde hair. She's screaming. She has braces across her teeth. So she looks like she's, you know, probably 16-ish. And it says signs you may be emotionally unstable. Rapid changes in mood. Your moods feel extreme and are hard to control. You tend to have drama in your relationships. You struggle to stick to your word. You struggle to feel empathy. You fear criticism and rejection. You have trouble coming down from your emotions. You're impulsive.
Sounds like a gambler.
So there's, I mean, that's what they're saying. That's what this particular website is classifying as emotionally unstable.
I mean, yeah. I mean that seems fair.
It seems right. It kind of goes along too with what Jeremy's saying is they walk in, it's they basic. See you're talking to another basic. Female and they go like crazy, screaming, yelling.
We apply
eating a scene and then taking that home.
We tend to, as guys, right, take the situation and say, oh, she's just crazy. But really, we don't sit there and talk in like technical terms, whatever. She was such this and no, we just bitches crazy. You know what I mean? What did she do? She took a fucking beer bottle and threw it at me because I said hello to some girl.
So they are classifying this as people in general. Like this one even says the psychology today says
persons.
But I think that I think that's fair for men and women.
Men and women, I think, are the same on both of them. You know, you make them angry and they say very angering and entitled statements, and they're struggling to keep just that regular whatever. There's always drama somewhere in the family that's got to be highlighted. I think that some of this is very...
I'll give you this. maybe the man expresses that craziness, that emotional crazy, in a different way than women, because also, for example, and this is, you know, a lot of couples are going to relate to this. Husband gets home, he's getting the cold shoulder. He has no idea what he did, right? And turns out he, you know, forgot to take out the trash, some random thing that now has led to the straw, right? So then the man will say, well, that's just crazy. You're acting crazy, right? Like, you mean, because you just, what is happening, right? And so we can't relate to that. And I think that's when men will associate that description to women. Whereas women will be like, well, an emotionally unstable man will express his feelings through anger or aggressiveness. I guess let's define that and let's come to kind of put rails on this conversation, because or else we're just, when we say crazy, we mean what do we mean, right? And I think
Amber Heard
but I think her definition was good enough.
Looney Tunes on meds, or
exactly,
you know, that person that is just too intense, they can't see anything by the other person's point of view ever.
Are you describing me?
All right, so getting back to the original question, right, is sex better with emotionally we'll just say, is sex better with emotionally disturbed people, right? So that way you can go both sides.
Yeah, because it does go both ways.
Or three sides if you want.
Samantha,
a minute to think about it at least.
No, it is because I've had sex with women that are not as damaged or crazy, and it's boring. And I've dated girls that are just, everything is wrong with them. And it's just like, holy cow. And that it's an addiction for me. I'm addicted to that.
So does the other partner, who's not technically crazy, do they need to be into that in order for it to be the better?
No, you have to be crazy too.
No, okay, hold on.
Oh, you know what? This is a very good point. You know, because
crazy attracts crazy.
Yes, we attract what we are, not necessarily what we want.
Oh, right, no. I'm asking. I'm asking, Timmy likes crazy women. I don't like crazy women. If we sleep with the same crazy woman, is he going to have better sex with her than I will? Because I am not into
that. Yes, right. I think so. Right. Yes.
I think so, yeah.
I think so, yes.
Because I'm going to treat her like a crazy person.
Jesus Christ. All right. Crazy. He's going to meet her crazy.
When you are having sex with that person, the crazier they get, you go with them. But if you just go, I don't know what's going on, it kind of stops. You know what I mean?
Like, pineapple.
Why am I about to die? Okay. I'm going to put it this way. I think men falsely equate crazy women or crazy personality with crazy in bed. And the reason I say this is because I think what happens is that in general, again, let's not personalize this, but in general, beautiful women tend to be crazier. Again, the whole hot, crazy matrix thing, whatever.
Matrix. We should play that. We should have that as a link.
So generally,
that one's good.
You know, when it's easier to, this is going to be vulgar, but when it's easier for a man to get when it's easier for a woman to get attention from men because of her looks and regardless of her personality, you know, then men are forgiving of her character. I think we mentioned in the last episode. And the reason men are forgiving of that character is because they're willing, you know, they want to have sex with her. And so, again, I think men associate, okay, well, here's a crazy girl, crazy equals crazy sex. But I don't know if that's been my experience. I don't. And yet, to your point, Jeremy, I think it is if you're looking for crazy. But to right. Samantha's point,
but you're not crazy.
You tend to
you're not
attract,
crazy.
Oh, I'm fucking psycho, bro.
Yeah,
come at me, bro.
I would agree with Tim. I don't. I would have to say Saul is not a crazy.
Out of the three of us, I'm probably the most fucked up in the head.
I would agree.
I think you're too nice, Nelson. I think you're too nice.
You have the machismo where it's like, I'm the man, I'm going to do whatever I want. But
Okay.
You know that.
Jesus.
You're not. It's like you're not crazy.
Yeah,
you're not crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nelson, you're definitely. This is the thing. You are not emotionally unstable. You're not.
Yeah. Okay. No, you. But even the conversations, you're like, you know, I don't want a girl to do this and that, and I got to be the dominant one.
His butthole tickled, and I'm like, no, stay the way.
I never said I like my butthole tickled. You see, now you're talking like crazy.
But I thought you like crazy women. Isn't that what crazy women do?
No, but I don't like my asshole touched. You know what I'm saying? We're not talking about what I like.
That's not what you said last night.
But what I'm saying is, when you say I like having sex this way and only this way, that's limiting for a crazy girl wants to like. She wants to go crazy.
But hold on a minute. You again, emotionally unstable doesn't necessarily mean that they're crazy in bed. Let's take a step back because you guys are making it sound like, oh, she's crazy in bed. That's a whole nother ball game to somebody who's emotionally unstable.
Yeah, but I think it goes hand in hand because in a way she's trying to use that as her only way to.
But no, this is where you. Time out. We're going to take a big T because somebody who is literally, though, emotionally unstable doesn't always recognize when they are that.
I trap myself into it because I don't want that to stop. It's like an addiction. I'm like I have an addicted personality. And when I'm addicted, I get addicted to good sex. I don't care how crazy they are. The crazy they are, for me, the sex has always been better. But my addictive personality wants to do that. That's why I did veganism. This is why I did this.
Timmy's the guy is like, you just got into this mad, crazy fight, screaming, yelling, and whatever, and your blood's pumping, and your adrenaline's going, and you're angry in the moment, and it's like, take off all your clothes.
Exactly.
Right now.
Exactly.
Take off all your clothes right now. Exactly. That is sex with an emotionally unstable person.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Tim loves it. I remember.
Yeah. I'm like, if I'm mad at you, don't touch me.
Exactly.
Dude, so me and my buddy were hiking.
You better butter me up.
We were hiking Thunderbird Mountain a couple years ago, and we were having this conversation, and I was like, I love, and I said it out loud, and he always gets embarrassed when I, you know, like all you guys do when we're in public, because I don't have a filter. And we're sitting there hiking, and I'm just like, yeah. I'm like, I love hate fucking. You know what I mean? And he just looked at me because there was like two old women like right in front of us, I'm not quiet. Right? I'm on a mountain. I'm like, I love it, you know. But it's the truth, man. Mm. It's the truth. I love hate.
See, and
sex.
That's different than just crazy sex.
No, but it's with that it's because we drive each other so crazy that then when we then that that's. That's the attraction. And the sex just winds up being so phenomenal. Like, I punched a hole in my wall, and the girl pulled my pants down right after.
But see, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's emotionally unstable. In the meantime,
Let's think about the logic that Tim is saying, right? Because, Tim, you wouldn't marry crazy, would you?
Mm-mm.
So by your own definition, you're saying that the best sex you're going to have, you've already had, because you're not going to marry crazy. So that means with your wife, you're not going to have this amazing sex that you so want.
And that is sad. And that is not true.
But that's been my problem of why when I've dated better girls that are less tame, I get bored. It's not, it's like, you want to go to the farmer's market? Hell no, I don't want to go to the farmer's market with your ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's been my problem.
Oh my
I
God.
Know what I want. All right. Like, I know what I need to marry and be with and all that, like to have a family and everything. But I always go that way because it's the addiction. It's an addiction for me. And I know that 100% is an addiction.
So do we need an intervention for Tim?
I think we
this
do.
Is, honestly, but this is also one of the other reasons why I haven't even tried pursuing, because I know what I like. Again, I want to. You know, conservative girl that's a little bit more on, I hate to say the word religious, but has that more of the
morals. You're not going to have sex until you're married. So then
morals.
You just
there's no, it has more. No, but has those morals.
Maybe this dry spell, for him is good.
But has those morals and, you know, all the things that I'm looking for to have a family. But the problem is, I know if I'm not finding that, I'm going to just get distracted with all this other crazy shit. And I'm just like, it ain't worth it because I know the person. I don't need to go backwards. I mean, I've had enough sex. You know what I mean? Sex,
well,
is
look,
sex.
I'm going to say, so Heidi, you said something. You said something that being for him, not having anybody, being alone for the last 3 years has been good. I don't think so because, see, and we've said this before, porn propagates a false image of.
I don't watch porn.
Of women. Oh, this guy.
I don't watch porn. I give you my word. It's true. I do not watch porn.
Okay.
Well, no, I will also say this. Work. I will also. I have fallen in this trap.
What, watching porn?
Watching porn? What?
No.
Oh my God.
No. I've fallen in this trap of thinking. You guys know my
track record.
Yeah. Exactly. And it hasn't been that great. Okay. And due to that, I thought that hey, I am in this terrible relationship. I need some time. I was in a relationship for like 8-9 years and it was garbage. And so then I took a bunch of time and then I got into another garbage one later. But the falsity in it is that you think me being alone, I'm fixing this stuff. And that's where I feel like I'm connected with you right now, Nelson, saying like, hey, you being alone is not actually really fixing your problems because you think, oh, I'm better now. And as soon as someone comes in there, then you're re-triggered by some things you thought that you were over.
Right.
A part of the growth is actually like
the failure.
Doesn't mean you have to like, is being with somebody or like exploring those relationships and being like, oh my gosh, I'm so triggered right now and still digging into yourself instead of just being like, I'm alone, I'm great. And when someone comes in, you're back to square one where you were before.
That's
like, you know.
All I did was cut a cancer out. I didn't fix it. I never said I was fixed.
No. But I'm not saying, he was saying that like you being alone, like you also not being alone, whoever said it, is you're not truly actually, I think, working on what you need to be working on. To the fullest.
It sounds as though the...
Bitch.
Shut up. It sounds as though... I'm talking with my hands. That's the problem.
Tourette.
All right.
I told you.
It wasn't me.
So it sounds as though the partner is the mirror that's reflecting those behaviors back to you. But when you're by yourself, there's nothing reflecting back to you. So you don't, you know, it's in the back of your mind. You don't think you're doing it, even though you really are doing it. And once the partner's back there, it starts reflecting on you again. You're like,
no one's smacking their lips in the mic. You know what I mean? So you're not annoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. No one's doing anything to make you like triggered by some dumbass shit that's happening.
What is happening right now? Did I miss something? It's about to trigger it again.
Okay.
Before we go any further, I wanted to, there's an old saying, I guess you would call it, that men look for women that are, they're ladies in public and
freaks in the sheet.
Freaks in the
bed.
You love it, glove it.
My brother, that was something my brother said many, many, many decades ago. And he said, I want to find.
How fucking old are you?
I want to find a girl that I could take home to mom and dad, and she's a good, prim and proper daughter-in-law. And then we go home and the door closes and she is like down and dirty. It's time to be a whore. Like that was the way he said it. And I laughed so hard and I was like, what? And he's like, no, seriously. Like you in public and with family and with whatever, there's this like.
You put on a mask perfect, and not be who you
this,
are.
Like, this part that is a, but to an extent though, but to extent, yeah, but to an extent. To an extent, though, you do. You want your spouse to be a good reflection and image of you and with you and all of those things. And but then when you get behind closed doors, I want him to pull my hair a little bit. I want him to be a little more aggressive.
Let me pose this question, Heidi, because, you know, men say a crazy girl, you know, we wouldn't marry crazy, blah, blah, blah. And then women will say. Where did all the nice guys go? You know, you hear this all the time. Where did all the nice guys go? But they friend zone the nice guys. So then my question is, do women really want that a publicly nice guy, or do they want the publicly bad boy who's, you know what I mean, like all the attributes that come with that publicly, and then with her, he is the nice guy? Or
I'm digging in on that one.
You're dinging in.
Digging in. I saw a Tinder profile recently, and I started sending Tim the screenshots of this because Tim says he doesn't believe
these
me.
These are great.
So I sent him some of this stuff. So I saw a Tinder profile that once, and it was this. It said, I want a Christian man. And then later on, And she's like, but he's got to have a little thug in him.
Okay.
Swear to God. And I'm like, oh God, like how do you compensate these two? How do you, you know what I mean? Reconcile this.
Yeah. I don't know what that exactly what that means, but I will say, I know she's dying.
Shoot somebody.
I will say, since you asked, I'm going to ask really quick. Jeremy was the first man that came into my life that stood up to my dad.
Her first thug.
Do you put that into the context of being a thug? I don't know, but I'll never forget it. Jeremy had made the comment that he liked women that were brunettes and a tint of red or a hint of red or something along those lines. So I had gotten my hair colored and I had had the red added in as like a low light or a highlight or whatever the hell you call it. And my dad saw it and my dad's like, great. Now you look like a baboon's ass. And he was teasing me about being a baboon with my dark hair and these red streaks in it.
Oh my God.
And he made the comment and I turned and I looked at him and I said, you don't have to look at me every day. And Jeremy turned and he made the comment to my dad. I like it. It looks nice on her. Like, and my dad took that immediately as like okay, I'll shut up. And I think he even said, you know what, if your man likes it. And nobody ever, I know that sounds insignificant maybe to you guys, but as a woman, to have your significant other stand up to somebody who you highly admire and you hold all of their comments near and dear to your heart, and it almost grooms you in a way, to have your significant other stand up in such, again, it may not seem like nothing to you guys, that's fine, but for me, it was the first time a man stood up to tell my dad, hey, just because that's what you think is okay or what you don't like doesn't mean that's not okay. That, like, right. I like it. It's about me, not you.
First of all, we all know Jeremy very well. He didn't, like, tell your dad, like, no, you know, it's like.
I didn't say that. It was like very subtle. Like, you did not listen.
He didn't realize he did that. And it was so subtle that, like, how subtle it was, but how great of impact it was to her is what she's explaining.
Right.
She did not say that. He was all like, mister, don't do this.
To Saul's point, it didn't have to be some aggressive bad boy, thug, whatever you want to say.
You had to throw our dicks on the table.
It was, like, what? It doesn't.
Dicks out for
so
a
not Please all don't. Women, not Please all don't. Women need you to throw fists, right?
I have a story
right,
here, yeah. and Julie was actually here at this event. All right, so. You know, look, to Tim's point, I am pretty, you know, calm, docile type male. You know, I'm the nice guy, usually.
Except
right?
for when you have a couple Jack.
Except after a few drinks of Jack. All right. But anyway, so.
He's always right.
Okay. Can we finish this? Can I talk? anyway,
not.
I'm at this, you know, I'm dating this girl at this time. And, you know, I think we were kind of starting to, you know, date, but it wasn't, you know what I mean, like physical as much. And we show up to this pool party where a certain individual shows up that's, you know, dating a family member, drama, drama, drama. And I, you know, approach this guy and I'm like, hey, man, what?
Jules is shaking her.
I know, she knows because so I go to this guy, hey, man, what's your intention with, you know, my family member? What's going on? And this guy just like immediately springs up. He's like, you know, in my opinion, he's like the fake alpha. He tries to, you know, pounding his chest type of person, you know? Mm-hmm. So he just wanted to pick a fight. And then, so I'm like, oh, cause he's like, you know, he just basically tells me none of your goddamn business. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Enough said. We don't even have to talk about it. Now I know the type of man that you are. So he's like, what man? He just tries to pick this fight. And I'm like, you know what? This guy's not even worth it. So I turn around, this guy swings, hits me in the eye. Freaking, I see stars, right?
What?
And all of a sudden, yeah, and all of a sudden, like, and I, you know, there was certain, I don't know, Jules, can I share the, because all the details?
God, all of a sudden, no, Jules is on the guy's back, just hitting him in the face.
No, listen, so we were,
100%.
This was, there was a lot of, Julie's, you know, their friends, a lot of gay men, really nice guys, man, I'm telling you, like, these guys came to my defense. They like jumped on this guy and like literally pulled us apart, you know, like, cause you know what I mean? Like this guy wanted to fight. And so eventually, you know, he was getting pushed out. They told him, get out of here. And I'm like, you know what, man, get out of here. You're useless. You know what I mean? You're not a man. You know, this, it was, okay. So then this girl that I was, you know, starting to get, you know, we had to think kiss and everything. That night, because of that little fight, I didn't even do anything. I didn't even swing back at the guy. But because she saw me in this little brawl, like she was literally throwing herself at me and wanted to, you know. And so, again, you know what I mean? It was that. It was a little display of masculinity. But I think this is innate in women. It's instinctual to you guys to want this because that shows you that this man can protect you, can defend you, can et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So, I agree. Yeah. I agree. And, you know, I don't swing your way. So, that night I was like, what the Nelson? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I could bring him anywhere because I know he's got my back. And it's true. You feel that, like, that security, right? Like, you know, you're going to be safe, you know, if it comes down to, you know.
And I did ask that girl this, and that's exactly what she told me. She's like, you know, I had never seen you act this way, and I honestly didn't know you had it in you. Yeah.
Samantha was. Yeah, so I was going to say, so going back when I was like, itching, to your point, you were asking, Saul, was you were saying, hey, so women say, oh, like, you know, the nice guy, like, they pass over them. And let me tell you right now, and I would put, like, my life on the line to say that, women, it's not about being a nice guy. It's about, like you said, having those masculine qualities to pop when you need to pop. Yes. It's not me.
Right. Yeah.
He's like, no, but in situations, not to be meek. It doesn't mean you're unkind. It doesn't mean you don't have a backbone.
Right.
It means that you're like, hey, I don't stand for that. It's like, hey, yeah, I do have some boundaries. It's like, and that's the one sense of the nice guy. Okay. You have to have that line that you've drawn for yourself and for the environment around you. And then secondly, when you're in a, you know, the relationship aspect, to be the nice guy and not be, and that's why I think nice guys are fearful because they think like, oh, I'm the nice guy. The ones that are not like faking to be a nice guy and then like, I don't know, roofie or something. But like, I'm the nice guy. And so I'm like afraid to like, hey, like hold your hand or grab you and take that role or to like, again, like pull your hair. Like true story happened to a friend where it was like.
Someone that you know.
The girl. The girl was like, oh man, you know, this guy, he's great, but like, he's just not like that thing we're talking about, right? In the bedroom or just like, doesn't give you that like, yes. And so the girlfriend, so his boyfriend was all like, talked to the guy, like low key, and was just like, hey, you know, man, just like, you know, pull her hair a little bit, like grab her neck. Like, you know, it's not neck, it's not throat, it's neck. It's kind of just that little tug, right? And so, okay, let me tell you what happened. And this is the difference. This is the where the nice guy fails, if you like really don't know what's going on, is when he was like, oh, really, that's happening?
He punched her.
No, they were at the bar and he was like, okay, you know, because this is all bar talk. You find out, you go and talk.
Oh, boy.
Oh, this all happened at the same time.
He's at the bar, and then it's like, you know, the girl comes over, and he's like, oh, like, I don't know, feeling, you know, liquid courage. Y'all, he sees her, and he takes her ponytail, and he pulls it. He's like, no!
What?
Wrong. Wrong kind of playing.
It's like, and she's like, what?
Oh, my God.
And, you know, it's like, that is not what we're talking about.
Timing. It's all about timing.
It's like, you know, I mean, that's an extreme example, but that is an actual real life example.
That's an experienced person.
But that's the whole point of, like, where you have that. You're afraid to, like, I don't want to be like, I'm not the nice guy, so I'm not going to do this. But it's all like, no one's at, like,
time and place.
Sometimes I do stupid shit just to piss them off. Like, I didn't know you didn't want that.
So an extreme opposite of that would be the woman that goes to the bar, drinks too much, and starts picking fights with the biggest guy in the bar. I was like, my boyfriend's going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Let me tell you something.
I just met her.
And he's like, no, dude.
A lot of guys actually want to, oh, yeah, I got to no. If your girl is doing she does not respect you, you dump that broad right then and there. Because she got no respect because she's sitting there putting you in a bad spot. Because let me tell you, a lot of guys don't think like this. They all want to be, me too. But here's the deal. All right, you square up at a bar, okay? Because let's hold on. You square up at the bar. guys like, oh, you touched my girlfriend's ass, and you fucking knock him out. Yeah, you look good for that moment, but you know, then you know what happens?
You go to jail you for assault.
And then you know what happens? That guy that was touching your girl's ass is still touching your girl's ass, and you're in jail getting
and
your
he's
ass
suing
raped.
You.
Yeah,
and you're paying him a big old check.
Most of the time, nah,
he's touching your ass.
Sometimes, if a guy
Bubba's touching your
if
ass,
if a guy disrespects your girl, and you say, hey, bro, like, yo, that's disrespectful. But, like, having to throw hands for everything, yo, we live in a different time now. Everybody's like, oh,
and
this
girls
is tough. Guys.
Never, like, I don't want to say girls expect ever to be like, oh, throw hands. I think it's the point of, like, you standing up. You saying something is literally enough. You standing in front and saying, hey, even if you have to say, like, no, go out of the bar, it's
birthday.
The point that you, like, made a point to, like, put yourself in there, interject, and be like, we're not doing that here.
I had the biggest girl boner ever on my birthday.
Ooh, lady boner.
Oh my gosh, you guys. The biggest lady boner ever.
What is happening?
And
why am I here today?
This is a family show, by the way.
No. Seriously.
You get lady boners.
to ask Jules a question. So get the
guy. Okay, what were there? 25, 30 of us from family all sitting at the table. We're at a small mom and pop type owned bar and restaurant this last birthday. And
wasn't it like a birthday Veterans Day
or something? I don't know. Labor, whatever. It doesn't matter. It was my birthday. I know my birthday was my birthday. And there was a gentleman getting up into a fight at the bar area. And he started coming around the corner and kind of walking towards where we were all sitting as a family. And Jeremy got up. And he moved himself between the family and the rest of us. And he points at the guy and he says, you're done. You're out. And pointing like, get out. And the gentleman came at Jeremy to shove Jeremy. But I was like, holy crap. And his kids are right there. He's clearly defending his family, his children, as this drunk idiot is. I mean, he'd already turned a table, broke glasses, attacked the cook. And he's just making his way through the restaurant and the bar. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I think after he came in, he sat down, and I leaned over. I said, I cannot tell you exactly how hot you are right now to me. But it's the same.
Up.
I mean, here's anybody who knows Jeremy. Like, that's not Jeremy. Jeremy's the guy that's like, put my head down, turn my back. It's not my business, whatever. And here was that like moment of no. You don't belong here. You need to leave. And I'm going to move into that.
It was something that Saul has actually said several times on this podcast. It was I forget the exact term, but it's like for evil to prosper, good men only need do nothing. Right. And so it's just like because the guy, he was in the other side of the bar. He was fighting with some people at his table. He, shut the table, drinks fell on the floor. And then he finally was leaving. And as he's walking by the bar, he starts a fight with another guy at the bar. And I'm like, no, dude, you don't get to do that. And he was leaving and I'm like, all right, you're done. Let's go. And he shoved me. Right. And I went back a little bit and he took a swing at me and I just dodged him. And then did he leave? I forget. I didn't hit him.
Jeremy balled his fists and he turned before he turned his body. And then Jeremy was one of like six men that stood to defend their families that were like, no, you need to, you're done.
Yeah.
But he initiated first stand of like, no, we're done. And then all of a sudden they just kind of lined up behind him, but he walked away. Like I was amazed on many levels. One of them, first of all, the fact that he walked away, that man put his hands on him and and then swung and he balled his fist. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I was just waiting for it.
It's going down for real.
Yeah.
But I remember sitting at the table while he was fighting, because you could hear the fight at the first fight at the table. And I'm like, this guy, what is he doing?
It ruins your day.
And just for the record, that was pretty awesome sex that night. I was freaking. And there didn't have to be any crazy, emotionally unstable anything in it. But I'm just trying to bring it back around because it.
Jeremy's face.
I have a couple of thoughts on this conversation, which is, I like that story. But look, here's the thing. I think that right now there is a trend, and to kind of bring all these conversations together, there's a trend in society to, feminize men and make him, nicer, blah, 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 right? Men, masculine, toxic masculinity. You hear this garbage talk.
Need more of it.
And so I say, and then Jordan Peterson makes this point and he says, no, you have to be a monster and then learn how to control it. because do you remember Training Day? There was remember that movie, that part where it's Denzel Washington. He's actually the bad guy in this, but he was a conflicted character.
Right. 35-year-old movie. Haven't seen it.
But here's the deal. Look, what he said, he says something interesting and about protecting the sheep, right? He says, you think you can defeat a wolf or a lion by being a sheep? No, you have to learn. It takes a wolf to defeat a wolf. You have to be a savage. You have to learn how to fight and then control that, you know? And so to your point, Samantha, you were saying earlier, yes, these are important aspects, and there's important masculine aspects that are good and that should be reinforced in society and encouraged in society. And I think we're moving away from that. And I think that's a recipe for disaster, especially for women, because how are they going to be attracted to a man who's docile? And you know what I mean?
Like, We're not.
Exactly.
But
period.
But you see, without going into details, right? Because obviously, I'm not trying to put you, but how is it from a female to female, right? Like, do you guys? No, seriously. I mean,
what role? Who plays the role?
No. But like, what? Like, do those same things come
up? Depends on the day of the week.
Because obviously, you're not going to be like, well, she stood up to that guy at the bar, and I'm super hot. You know what I mean? So there's got to be some differences, right? With what do you find like attractive, or the hot crazy scale? Like, how's it for same sex? I've never really.
That's a really good question.
I'm actually
tell us. That's all.
That's what I said. Without going into so many details.
Can you bring the whiteboard and draw pictures, please?
No.
How does this work?
It doesn't have to be a 2-hour explanation, but just like, you've been listening to all our stuff. So how does this equate into, your world?
So I'm trying to think what to say, because I know
she's
my other
right
half is going
to
listen to this. I know.
Oh, no.
I never knew
let's,
that.
Let's bring her into the podcast. Go ahead and get her.
I never knew that.
She was the best.
Without spilling all the tea.
Right. So it doesn't, Jules, it doesn't have to be based on your relationship, right? Just in general. Because obviously we're coming from different perspectives.
Yeah. So I think we get a little bit of both worlds, right? So we can get like the really crazy. And if you're emotionally crazy yourself, then, it's like really crazy. But I don't think there's a, because either way, I think with females, when we do have sex, it's an emotional thing, no matter what. Like it doesn't matter if you're having a good day, a bad day. It's always emotional. There's always that, I don't know how to explain it. Like you always want to take care of your partner. Doesn't matter how shitty your day is or how pissed off you are or how crazy you're feeling. It's always an emotional, because just with friends, right? Us as friends, with our girlfriends, there's always that emotion. There's always that, there's a friendship, I think, when it comes to girls. And I don't know. It's just, it's totally different for sure. It's not because there's that.
Let
two
me ask this, Jules,
because right?
you have friends who were men, and I'm going by what I've heard Tim say on gay men relationships.
okay.
All this posts on Grindr. Yeah,
but look, because it's to the extremes, right? Where women who are together, it is that emotional connection. And I'm thinking men, when they it's just physical. So it's both extremes, right? And now, whereas men and women have to learn how to, dance around each other's needs. Women know what they need and men know what they need. And so, I'm pretty sure the statistics on men, gay men having sex, they have thousands of partners above what, and it is just, hey, let's meet up, have sex, and okay, bye,
sex,
bye.
Yeah.
And it's just, cause that's it. Because that's all men really want it.
Right.
At the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to say, cause we brought it up a couple months ago. Like we talked about Vince Vaughn and that stupid movie where he like fathers like
Delivery Man.
Yeah. Delivery.
That's on HBO.
Yeah, it was on HBO and I was bored. I was like, fuck it. I'll watch it. It's a stupid movie. But he did have one of the kids was he was a gay kid, right? He was a gay man, And he didn't know this, but he's following him, right? Because this is when he's trying to like see his kids without them knowing. So he's following him. And he sees the one kid, like he starts out with, you know, he's on the train or the bus. He meets, you know, meets the first one. He kisses him. And Vince was like, oh, that's weird. All right. He's gay. But then it's like, he follows him to the next stop. Then he's meeting the next guy. He goes on a date with that guy. He's kissing him. Then he goes to the next guy. Jesus. He had like five different dudes.
You know what I mean? What's different for us, I think, is we don't need to tell the other person what to do, what to say. It just happens. Like, you know, if that night is going to be a wild sex, or you know, it's just going to be like, okay, let's just cuddle, or let's just hold hands. Like, you just know. Like, you look at the person and you know what's happening, because we're so the same, right? So, but we also have, there is always one that's more dominant than the other. There's one that's more, you know, overprotective. Yeah. And, you know, there's always going to be that one that's going to stand up to, even if it's a guy, you know.
A little bit more of the male characteristics.
Right. And we have to have that.
You know, it's not just male characteristics. It's that
protector.
Protector. Mm-hmm.
It's the masculine and feminine energy. We all have it, and it's how much we put. Sorry. Oh,
I have not done it once. Yeah. By the
talking
way.
With your hands is okay.
Where's your crystals? Yeah.
Oh my gosh! So, did you see that movie tonight? Oh, yesterday.
Hey, hello. Squirrel.
So on the Asian website that came up, just so you guys, I just want bring it back. I'm bringing it back to the topic, right? So it says, men have better sexual experiences with women who are emotionally unstable. It also added that women have more satisfying sex with a less agreeable partner. The results also suggested that men who are conscientious are better in bed since they feel the need to satisfy their partners.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Lick a lot of puss.
I think there's obviously with all of the conversations that are happening.
You just
have to talk right over him. Just ignore him and keep going. But I mean, I think that everything, all of us and all of our points that we were making or things we were bringing up, I think that that kind of sums it up for all of us as far as that partnership goes and mm-hmm. and that conscientious piece.
This is why some of us are single and some of us are married.
No, that's not true. Oh, let's not get into this topic.
Okay.
No, you guys found what you wanted, and
we have another.
I do have to admit, I like the sex of. Yeah. I do. Wait a minute. I do like the sex appeal of them already knowing what I'm thinking and how I'm feeling for that day, and just can we just do that part? That was
it's like you walk in. I'm not getting sex tonight.
I like that. Okay.
Jeremy, watch your wife, please.
Hold on, let me get the Vaseline real quick.
You got to reel it in. All right, so we have to move on to the next subject. So what are we leaving this at, Samantha? What conclusion did we come to? Do men like have better sex with crazy women? Tim does, at least.
So I was going to say, what I'm hearing is that you guys do, but as a woman, I do feel like it is a false sense of like what's really going on, because you have like heightened states of dopamine and you're like, oh yeah, because I'm like, all these crazy things, but like maybe you're actually crazy and then projecting that she is crazy. So let's just go with that. So whatever you want to say, it's up to you to decide.
But I want to ask one final question. Mm. Do women like emotionally unstable men?
We like men who have money and who are stable and who are loyal.
I'm talking about sex. You had better sex with a guy that's a deadbeat, but he looks great. He's, you know what I mean? He's crazy, but he looks good. You have better sex with him or a guy that just, oh, he's got a couple dollars and he's a beta male.
No, you are. Oh God. I feel like we need a, this is like,
that's a whole other subject. I think it's a whole other.
We're like, it's so wrong.
You said men and women.
I'm like shooketh.
No, we specifically were talking about unstable, emotionally unstable women. And an emotionally unstable man is, there's nothing attractive about that.
Then why y'all date them?
What are you talking about?
Wow.
There's a difference between it. Okay,
Jeremy kind of started screaming.
Clearly, you're an idiot, Timmy.
Well, we knew that. No, but you have to realize that, like,
for women, when you see some woman who's like, oh, she's with a bum or someone who doesn't work or whatever, whatever. Okay, I've been there, so I know.
That
so, okay.
That hit home.
Oh,
that's why I asked.
Oh, but it's not that he was emotionally unstable. There's a lot of illnesses there. Okay, there's a lot of addiction and problems.
I don't think we can dig ourselves out of this, Samantha. We can't dig ourselves out of this.
But no, okay, maybe not. But the whole maybe, you know what, man, looking at my life, a whole.
Exactly.
Oh, it's like that.
You're welcome, bitches.
So really quick, in the very beginning, somebody made the comment that. You find your satisfaction or you find your mate in something that somebody that reflects the same as you. And I hate to say that I might have to give credit to Tim, but I think Tim was the one that said this. And
I'm smarter than what you guys really.
And I think that there's definitely something to be said about that. I think that maybe there's a percentage of men that do have better sex with emotionally unstable women. But I think that percentage is probably the same percentage of that emotionally unstable man that is saying that. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe it isn't. But I do think that there is that compatibility, and I have to agree with the website that said men who are very conscientious in the bed, and I think women too, for that matter, either. I think that goes both ways, that are very conscientious in bed will please their partners better. In the end, your sex is going to be better if you are both being conscientious of pleasing the other person,
men or
women. I just want to say, in my independent research, I have never found a correlation. Just putting it out there.
Well, yeah, because
between unstable, like emotionally unstable men and like hot sex versus. As someone who I've just had hot sex with, I've not found a correlation between that.
Yeah. So fact check is crazy.
It's the same type of. Anyway, we're gonna. I'm just kidding. No, like, oh no. Oh, no.
It's like the Family Guy. He's like. If you know, you know.
You know.
Right. So we're gonna leave it there, but we have to move on to the next topic. And this one
gotta move on
is this is a little interesting because I think we like the other one. We have to iron this one out a little bit. So the question is looks versus smarts, and so what was the entire question? And I was trying to find it, but what was the question? Are looks more important versus smarts? Right, I think
what's more important, being good looking or being smart?
Exactly.
Now, I guess it relates to what? Exactly. In relationships, and even in that, like long term, short term hookups, and I guess it also depends on who are you asking.
That wasn't defined. And at that what wasn't stage defined. In their life that are it was they just
in? As and it relates as to what?
How about life? Exactly, right. Jules.
Just in general.
General a life.
What's their energy?
I guess we can say what's more important for guys, being good looking or smart, and what's more important for women, being good looking or smart.
So I can in speak general. For me. Yeah, in my opinion, I want a little of both. Right. I want her to,
but if you could only have
nice
one,
looking
let's put it this
and
way.
Not an idiot. Oh, let's geez.
No, no, for, no, no, I'm no. talking about for yourself. Like you yourself. Do you prefer being?
You can't only have one.
Do you prefer being?
No, you can't.
Smart, or do you prefer being handsome? Not what you're looking for. Oh. Yourself.
Well,
do you prefer being handsome, or do you prefer being smart?
So if I had the magic genie and my one wish could be either I'm incredibly handsome or incredibly smart.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Let's all go around the room. That.
Yes.
Got to pick one. You can't have both. Mm-hmm. You got to pick one. Let's figure out how society and what we've shaped ourselves. This is a good question.
There are a lot of good looking guys who are complete idiots that do really well.
Yeah.
Hulk smash.
How often is that?
But what do you want?
More than you
had one wish.
I'm kind of walking through, right? And but then when you talk about really intelligent people, right? You think of like Einstein, who just
Elon Musk.
Is all crazy. Elon, yeah,
change the world.
They have lots of other issues, but you just listed
two men that are highly intelligent and they're not that bad looking. You're talking about crazy hair,
Einstein.
So what?
Elon
crazy
Musk
hair.
Got,
so what?
Before he got the hair plugs.
No, I've just seen
go
the
look,
pictures,
go look
obviously,
up Elon Musk and what he used to look like.
I just
well, so it's like the Big Bang Theory, right? They're supposed to be intelligent over good looking, right? And it's just like, I don't know if I can
that
put up with
is
any
false.
Of
false. That gave people a lot of false hope. I'm just going to throw that out there.
So we could come back to you, Jeremy. You can think about it. Think about what you want. Do you want to be handsome or do you want to be smart?
You have to pick one. Can't both.
Just pick one.
Oh, dumb as a rock or hot as a...
You already know he's got to be smart because he can't pick that answer right now. He's confused.
I don't know. Go, Tim, what would you be?
Handsome.
Okay.
Okay.
Samantha?
For sure, good looking.
Okay. Heidi?
She's going to pick smart.
No, I really, I can't answer that question.
So, well, one of the other things we have to take into account, right?
Hypothetical.
Heidi has a...
It is so, even hypothetical, the pros and the cons on both sides suck.
That's
you have
point.
To go with one. But that's the point. It's just like... Right.
I know, but you know, I can't...
Do you want to go
drama,
down the slide
you're gonna be an ugly...
of... No, here, it's like...
We pick for you.
This
we
is
pick
the thing.
You.
Do you want to go down
you'll
the slide of razors into a pool of alcohol, or you want to go down a slide into a pool of leeches? Like, they're both, like, we all know, like, there's not good quality.
So dark.
Okay, so then I guess I'm going to go with intelligence, because...
Pick one.
Because I thank the Lord every day that I have the personality and the intelligence that I have. So I'm going to go with intelligence.
Be handsome and dumb and still have a good personality.
I've lived my whole life being the ugly duckling. So why the fuck do I care about being pretty?
Jesus.
You asked. There's my God's honest truth. Like, day in and day out, I thank God that I have the brain that I have. I never look in the mirror and go, God, I'm so thankful that I'm this pretty and don't have a brain. So I'm going to go with brain.
I got a good question after this one.
All right. So, Jules, you're up.
So,
I had it.
She already has
it. I think I would choose smart. Because if I'm smart, then, you know, I can get a really good job, make a lot of money. If I have a lot of money, I can get me, you know,
she can
pay whatever
for
I want. I can pay to become pretty. So I think I would rather be smart.
But a handsome person has a great personality. Everybody attracts it to him. So
gets money.
He wants everything handed to him.
No. But a handsome person does not necessarily have a great personality. I know there are plenty of beautiful people in this world and they are assholes and people don't like them. They have zero loyalty. They have no idea what it's like to truly be loved and to be... To have the loyalty of,
but that's not about being
about
smart,
and,
being an asshole, or
no,
being,
right?
So that's
no,
the,
just,
we have
yeah.
we all.
You
could
say the opposite of somebody who's smart and uses their smartness
Sheldon
for
Cooper.
Evil.
Fucking, I can't stand.
Look,
sure.
I need to
evil,
answer this.
It's the evil genius. What
do you say, Nelson?
Chat and I kind of been holding my thought here because, look, and let me talk, guys, because you guys are going to give me shit for giving a freaking monologue. But I need to say this because I thought this through. Okay, so on the issue of smart, because smart in itself is, I don't think it's has that much value. What appeals to me is wisdom, because being knowledgeable with books and all that shit does not equate to wisdom. Right? It really doesn't. And that's the point that I was trying to make to Heidi, is a lot of smart people who are fucking fools. And COVID proved this shit. So again, and look, there was a movie that highlighted this, and it was a great movie, Good Will Hunting. You guys remember that? Ben Affleck?
I love Good Will Hunting.
Now, Matt Damon, again, plays this high IQ kid who, you know, has read
Who's
a ton
gorgeous.
Of books. But he has zero
wisdom.
And
dumb as a bag of rocks.
And so there's a scene in there that where he interacts with this psychiatrist played by Robin Williams.
Robin remember? Williams.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
spoiler alert.
And, look, again, 34, 40 years. And now, the Matt Damon character ends up committing a crime, and then he's now forced to where he has to interact with the psychiatrist. And again, he's a brilliant guy. And so when he meets this psychiatrist, he's basically, or psychologist, he tears him down and destroys his life based on a painting that he sees on a wall. Okay. And you can tell that this guy is like torn because of this kid just basically destroyed and analyzed his life and basically told him who he was based on not a painting that he saw him paint. Anyways. So, Robin Williams comes in, the character comes back with a great speech, and I love it. because he says, you know what, what you told me, how you analyzed me tore me. But then I thought of something and I was able to sleep like a baby. And he told him, he said, because you have all this wisdom. I'm sorry, you have all this book smart, but you've read about, you know, Rome and all this. But have you ever been to the Sistine Chapel? Have you ever stood there and looked up at the ceiling and the beautiful? Have you ever, you know, he says, you've read about women, you know everything about women, but have you ever loved a woman? And so again, to me, it's the whole smarts. Okay, sure, I'm drawn to that, but I think I would go a step further and I would say wisdom. I would take wisdom over all that, because with wisdom you can, you know, to Jules' point, a lot of other things will come into play if you're able to apply that wisdom well. Right?
That wasn't, but that wasn't the question.
It wasn't either a choice.
Either good looking or smart. You chose C.
I said smart.
Yeah. Of course.
And the rest of us were allowed to.
Again, yeah. Again, it's his show and he makes up his own rules.
Like A or B, C.
I wasn't allowed to do that. I wasn't allowed to do that.
You're right. It was a good one.
Smart.
A handsome, smart person. A handsome, smart person.
Yeah.
Smart.
Done. Handsome, smart person.
Interesting.
You're putting smart and wisdom in the same context for this particular.
Well, I mean.
Right.
Because you can look at common
sense. Okay, so let's say, what do men look for in a woman?
Looks.
Dumbass
like
bitch.
Smart or good looking?
Looking. Looking.
That's the man thing.
Looking.
And I will just say, I chose good looking for a few reasons. Even though I am, you guys know, like.
You're smart.
Feminine and smart.
Yeah. I was going to say, what?
He had a six pack.
Yeah. But I understand the dynamic. And if I had to pick one, I want to be on the side with what I think you would want so I can survive and I can thrive.
Smart. Smart.
Right.
See? That's
so it's embedded in there. Yes. It's embedded in my DNA.
But think about it. When you go to when a guy goes to a bar, right? You're obviously drinking. So the first thing going through your mind is, hey, man, I want to meet a girl. I'm going to ask her a simple question. What the fuck is E equals MC squared? And they're going to be like, huh? No, I'm not going to do that. I'd be like, hey, girl, hey, what's your size?
What that thing do?
Yeah, what that thing do? Drop that thing down.
So basically,
I want to see a girl that can actually drop it. God. You know what I mean? So, and then I'll ask her about it.
So the research says, basically, people who were rated good looking, made more money, were better educated, and were more confident. But the effects of a person's intelligence on income were stronger than those of a person's attractiveness. So somebody who wasn't like hard to look at, you didn't want a coyote ugly them in the next morning, and had some intelligence, are more successful than one that is on one side or the other. So, I mean, if you want like the well-rounded, the person who's going to do it all, then you want a little bit of both sides of it.
See, the question isn't about balance, because obviously everybody wants to be a combination of both. You
don't, isn't it about balance?
If you have a combination of both, that's called balance.
Yeah, but why isn't it about that? The people that have balance have everything in their life. They're balanced. They have the spouse that loves them for everything and not just because they're pretty and they've got an empty thing on their shoulders.
Right, but we're asking the
every man I know that's ever married a trophy wife has divorced her, owed her a shit ton of money, and went looking for somebody who was balanced. Right. A nice looking woman, not drop dead gorgeous, not the 10, but maybe the middle ground of it, and had a brain on her shoulders, and they found that and lived happily ever after while they still paid the trophy. You know,
every guy wants a trophy.
That's great. And the guys who've had it, I have two buddies who were married to trophy wives. During their divorce, I was like, I've known you for a long time. You were so all about the trophy wife. What's the deal? And this is what one of the guys told me. Do you know what a trophy has inside of it?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It's hollow.
So I will never do that again.
Right. But we're not, we just ask about, for you personally, do you want to be handsome or smart?
We did that.
We didn't say,
but I'm bringing it back to the question. But I'm bringing it back to the overall question of what's more important, being good looking or being smart.
For me, not for you. We didn't say based on.
I'm not saying, I wasn't referring this to me personally.
Right,
I'm saying this overall when I went to go do my research.
Yeah, I'd rather be balanced. I'd rather be fine. I mean, everybody would rather be balanced.
Well, we can all talk about our personal. You want to be balanced.
Yeah, I mean,
no, because when I said that, I got shunned.
I think both men and women. I don't.
It's a logical answer.
I think we both look for a balance. I think.
I know so many people that are so shallow that it is more important about looks.
When you first meet somebody, you're not looking about the, you know, when you first meet somebody that night, you're not looking at, is she balanced? You're like, I want to go home with that person, right? Because your goal when you're out at a bar most of the time is to find a girl for that night. And then through, if it's good, then you wind up maybe hanging out again a second time, a third time. And then from there, you're like, oh, I had that and now I'm looking. But
wait,
now
you're talking about going to the bar to get a piece of ass. Right, but we're talking about finding a long-term somebody to spend your life with.
But if you're on a dating site looking for your perfect mate, a lot of times when you're swiping, you're not going to go, I'm looking for a balanced girl, because you know what? Half of them write that and you can just looking at them, you're like, you're not balanced.
Okay, I'm going to say this right now. Yeah. We're going to have another T for timeout, because
T for Tim.
I think everybody, I think everybody needs to understand and like come to this center that when we talk about smartness, it kind of is going in one direction. But when actually you're working with somebody, I don't care if you know what, like, I hope you know 2 + 2 = 4. But like your smartness is really...
You would.
Your smartness is really like not about sense. Whether you there's a little bit of common sense, book smart, but it's like, hey, you know what? Like your wife, is she taking care of the children? Is she like forgetting them in the bath or something crazy?
Oh my God, that is like so matriarchal.
Stop. The whole point is like smartness doesn't have to be like, I'll tell you, like, I feel like I'm on the higher end, you know, things of smartness. If you put it out there, I'll tell you I'm smart. But like at the same time, I know I'm not brilliant, but I also know I'm like, you know, you'll ask my husband and he's finance, a lawyer, and I'll be like, 2 + 2 = 5. He's like, Samantha, I mean, 4. I know the answer. But like, so the whole point is like to be with somebody, you don't have to have like, they don't have to be this quote unquote, what are we saying, smart? And I don't want to go back and be like, oh, we got to define.
It's your question.
No, but I'm just saying define everything. I'm just saying, just wait. It's not about 2 + 2 = 4. It's about, can you have a conversation? Are you like looking at like the stars when I'm just talking about like the computer? Like you could still be like, okay, I don't really get it. I don't really get all that technology, all whatever. But like, I hear what you're saying.
I said that.
A little bit of that. But it's more like when you with a partner, do you really care if they're smart or do you care if they like care about you and care about your interests? That would intrigue, I feel like, even men or women more, because it feels like you're important. You feel wanted. You feel loved when someone is interested in you. Not that they know that like whatever the taxes are, or not that they know how to make the recipe right every time, but that they're putting love into it and that they're.
I think it goes back to what
Nelson was saying, right? Yeah. That wisdom. Yeah. Right. But, so the more you date, the more relationships you've been, the more women you've slept with, vice versa.
Wisdom,
right?
I'm a virgin. Wise. So save myself a marriage.
You start changing, you know, your bad habits. You start, you know, choosing better. And I think it goes back to the whole being wise.
I agree with the wisdom thing, but if we're talking about the question that she raised for her topic, right? Because everything we say outside of that is completely goes against the point of that question.
Right. So
why did you choose to be handsome?
Just look at
why him. Did I choose?
Just kidding. Fucking guy.
No, because you didn't. You just gave your answer. You were just like, I want to be handsome.
Right, because it was I didn't have to explain it, but because for that reason, because with being, you get more opportunities can be handed to you based on looks, right? And then you can figure out the rest of it later.
As a man, I don't know. Right. I think women.
Oh would. Yeah, when you see a sportscaster, right, or somebody that's in front of the camera, you don't put somebody that looks like Oompa Loompa in front of a camera.
You yeah, look, women even, too.
Dude, women even too, down right? to like when you look at news anchors, right? They're not a lot of them. They all got that. They look like they're dumb as shit.
Tim wants to be famous.
Okay. No, but
look.
Okay, so really quick, this fortune cookie says you are as intelligent as you are good looking. Now, how do you feel?
Okay.
But based on the two, because, okay, you can look, all right, look at a guy like Dr. All right. Not to go into politics, but look at a guy like Dr. Fauci. The guy spent his entire lab in a his entire life in a lab. The guy looks like a mutant, but they put him on as the sexiest guy of the year, COVID what? Man of the year. Yeah, they put they gave him all these accolades.
What?
But the guy is a crazy bastard.
He
the
is
guy's
not
in a lab.
Handsome.
He's got no personality. He's evil.
Him.
But the guy's super smart.
And he,
I'll give him
and
that.
He looks like he can't fuck.
But yeah. I bet you, but right? No, right, but I bet you he's probably had a lot of women because of the money.
No,
not even that.
I think so. That's what we were talking about before. You know, women look for men who have money.
He probably runs from women
I
when
don't
he sees
believe
it. He's
that.
Like,
I'm like, he's trying. He's projecting.
I think a lot of nurses have been throwing themselves at him. Let me put it this way. Going back
that's
to
why he invented Viagra.
So going back to what Samantha said. See, Samantha, you were making the correlation with relationships, and I think if we put it in those brackets, relationship wise, what is important, and then you said something about, you know, how do you love somebody who can't have a conversation with you, and see, I think this is those are terms that are used in modern society today. I think we've emphasized love and relationships and it's moved away from kind of what the purpose of marriage and was, which was to create a family and all that. And I think our pursuit for love is giving us neither a family nor love. And I think of older societies, and I'm not saying they were right, and I'm not, you know, I'm just observing here, guys. But look at how people used to get paired up before. It was your families decided. And
arranged.
Some of those, and we are here. We're descendants of that. And those people ended up finding love. And so sometimes, you know, they didn't even know what the other person looked like until they met on the night of their, you know, when they had to consume the marriage. So,
unveil. That was the veil.
Exactly.
That was the purpose of the veil, right?
I mean, I'm not advocating for one or the other, but I think, you know, today we've overemphasized and said, well, you know, how are you going to love somebody that is dumb as a bag of rocks? And well, people made it happen before, and they did. I'm not thinking about I want to, you know, sit down with a woman and you know, have certain conversations. I think that's what my friends are for. You see what I'm saying? So I don't know, maybe I'm old-fashioned when it comes to this these conversations. That's why I chose
so there's a lot to, like, when you think about a lot of the things you said, right? Like, yeah, you want to, you know, certain conversations are meant to have with your friends, but also as you know, get older, you only wind up having maybe one or two friends, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that arranged marriage and all that, it makes sense to a degree, but I feel like society has gotten to the point where we feel that we always think there's something better out there because of all the movies that say there's always something better out there, or not just here in the room, but just in the world, everybody's been indoctrinated to this happy ever ending, you know, finish. And
or
it's like,
don't
that's
settle.
Not, it's like, yeah, don't no, settle. There's always something
settle,
better out
eventually.
There. And it's like, dude, like
your ugly ass is not going to find anything. Settle, please.
No, but just like all those things that you see, and it's just like, dude, that's fiction. But people wind up believing that that's reality because, oh, if they're making it, I feel like my life is a movie. I want my life to be like that movie. And it's like, nah, homie, that's not how life is. Life is not anything like that. That's maybe for maybe a half a percentage of people.
Yeah, but now they're conditioning and they're putting this out there in a whole nother.
Yeah.
Which is a bad light also, where it's okay to accept other things that aren't okay either. And, you know, from the girl that envisioned Cinderella's story and, I'm going to say a Pretty Woman's story, where the knight in shining armor comes in and rescues you. To a degree, there's something to be said about, like we were talking about in the first part of our conversation, that man who's the man, who's going to be there to protect you, to defend you, to honor you. It doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be fictitious.
It's the
over-feminization,
there's
some reality to it also.
It's the over-feminization of men.
But that's bad. And that's what's happening now.
But it's breaking the patriarchy, right? Because now it's like, oh, because of feminism, they say, oh, this and this, that women are the head of, you know what I mean? Things have worked for a very long time with this system. This other cis alternative system, it ain't working.
Okay, well, I will just put out there that back in the day. Back in the day, yes.
Drinking that Zipperita.
Women were running the household.
Yeah. No, running
all
the household.
Y'all
not
all y'all men did like, went to work and fucking brought home they were, a
the patriarch, the nuclear
exactly,
family.
Exactly, but they
you
were also, there was also, okay, because remember when we talked about this earlier, I want to put this
Gina
out there.
Carano.
It's about.
I just said Terror on the Prairie. Just done. Done. That movie.
Sorry, go.
No, I'm just saying it's about feminine and masculine energy because a woman can have a lot of masculine energy and still run things as it would be run.
Yes.
I know I can't help it right there in front of me, you know?
Yes.
Can run things how it should be run.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you say,
that be me?
Yeah. So when you say, oh, this turn, the turn is not about women being in power or women whatever. It's about the masculine.
That's what I
loud?
See on Twitter all day long.
Okay, because you're watching like crazy stuff.
No, that's watching what the crazy people are pushing on everybody.
So let's change the narrative and say, okay, it's not about the feminine, this woman, right? The, like I identify as a woman being in charge. It's about this feminine energy. That feminine energy taking over is not a bad thing, but it also needs to be met by the balance of masculine energy. And we all have that. You have it's not about estrogen to testosterone. It's about energies and how a woman can have that too and still run things how it was back in fucking Egypt.
What's
like, it's
woman?
Not like it's fucking history. We talk about history all the time. Like, go back and read some books.
Yeah. So, Samantha, what I'll say to that, Samantha, is that you're right. You're right. Look, and I was raised by a woman who had to play both roles. So I get it. Yes.
And you love it.
You are right. Yes.
And you're looking for it.
But let me put it this way. Oh, wow.
Is it truth? No, that's true. God's honest truth.
I'm not denying that.
Look, change my diaper.
It's not bad. It's not a bad thing.
But in society today, I think there is there what you do here is they downplay male attributes because they call it toxic masculinity. But you never hear society say feminine toxic or toxic femininity. And when you mention that, you're like, oh, well, there's
Slush.
No such thing.
Slush.
But there,
no,
is.
There is.
But there is. There is toxic femininity. And so
seeing it right now in this room.
No,
no, calm down. No.
Okay.
And there it is.
Sorry,
no.
This is what happened. This is why. But it's not a good example of it, though. That's why it's poor, and that's why it's emotionally unstable, and that's why we're back to the beginning.
But you see how easy this is? But I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry. Finish your thought.
I'm just, that's all I wanted to say is that I think I agree with Samantha to a certain extent, but society today is only pushing one side. And I think if we do want balance, we need to push back and say, well, what are those toxic feminine attributes that we should control as a society? And one of those is the overemphasizing love and feelings and all this shit when it's like, no, there needs to be a balance. Sometimes you have to shut those feelings down and be like, no, fucking, you got to take care of shit.
Can we get back to what you said, though, at the beginning or earlier?
What did I say?
Oh, wow.
Give it a little Tarzan action there. There you go. I am Jane. Jane.
Oh my God.
Me, Jane.
You said that men's unstable or emotional unstableness can come across, which we call now toxic masculinity, whether it be anger or aggressiveness, as like, why don't we put more focus and channeling into controlling that? Because we all want that. We just want it controlled. We all said, yes, we love the aggressiveness. Women have never said, don't be aggressive. You see all those things on Netflix and it's like the man is like choking her neck and doing crazy stuff. And I'm sorry, girls are like, oh, but also like, oh, don't kill me. But okay. Oh,
yeah.
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me when
what
I'm lying.
What is happening right now?
And the whole point.
I don't know. I'm lost.
Everybody knows.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
Let me ask this question.
Everybody knows.
What are toxic feminine traits that society should say, you it's okay to be feminine. But you need to control it. What are those?
Don't interrupt the man.
No.
I need to think long and hard.
This is why
No,
say
are you kidding me? I have it. I have it. What? Toxic femininity, this idea that you never need a man. The feminist movement comes in with their feminist thoughts. Hold on. No. Look, no, I like her, but she and I can have this conversation because we're talking generalizations. We're not talking about the few percentage of women that don't need it. Right.
Yeah.
But you're still taking your vehicle to the, with a very few percentage of women. Okay. So let's put it all in perspective to percentages here. The majority of women still need men for certain things. First of all, every single woman on the planet, if you are born a female with a vagina and a uterus and fallopian tubes, you have to have a man if you want a baby. If you want a baby, okay? Again, small percentage. You don't need a man for that because you don't want to have a baby. All right? That's one. Two. Another small percentage of women. Where do you take your vehicle to get it fixed? And how many women are doing that job? Okay. I can go out and I can change my oil.
Ripley.
I can hold on. Exactly. But I'm just saying, all right.
Guess what?
There's a fire. And the ceiling's coming down on top of my head. A very few percentage of women are going to get me out of that place. Okay. War, same thing.
Let me tell you right now. I'm not saying that there's no points and there's not validity and there's not things that like me and you do not want to do. But I will tell you right now, if it was only me and you,
we do it. We're going to find a way to do it.
We would figure it out. And let me tell you, the animal kingdom,
I'm still not getting you pregnant.
Gathers. Let's talk about lions.
Samantha,
the women go do that.
Let me ask you a question.
So let's not act like
there's not this.
This is all around the world.
But let me ask you, Samantha, I have a question for you.
And that triggered me because my husband's like, don't point at me. And I'm like, I'm not.
Let me ask you a question and don't identify anybody specifically here. But let me ask you this. It's a general question to the people who are here, the men who are here. Has any man in this conversation expressed any form of toxic masculinity in your opinion?
Yes.
She's looking at me.
I'm asking Samantha. You don't have to point at the person, but have men in this room displayed toxic masculinity that you'd be like, okay, that's toxic.
So I will tell you right now, the masculinity that I've seen displayed in this group, I can like joke at and like be like, okay, because I'm not in a relationship with you,
woman.
I would say, hey, it's like funny. I can be like, oh, come on. You don't believe that or like whatever. And I feel like what you say sometimes or people say in this group, maybe not be what exactly they mean. So I kind of read through the lines. So I don't feel like it's totally just like this woman negative thing. However,
I feel
like there's things that are said that are just like, yo, if you have a different mindset, you would
now
be different.
Now, let me ask you, have the women in this room or women who've joined the podcast expressed any toxic feminine traits?
Totally. We all have that. We all have some days you come at me and I'm like,
the question is, what are those? What are those? That's what I'm asking. What are those toxic feminine traits?
And that's what I was saying. I have to think about it because I think that I'm
I thought you said that you know
pretty,
that the women
pretty
have
perfect. She said she knew. I said I had to think about it because I think I'm
pretty
good.
So based on the topic of femininity and all this shit that you guys are trying to say, your cause and the cause of femininity and this over saturation of, you know, go women has de-emphasized men and has pussified them.
Yes.
I call it the pussification of society. And the pussification of society now, when you make a man feel like a pussy, he turns into a pussy and now he thinks he's a fucking woman. Okay? So this whole transgender... No.
Yeah.
I'm being dead serious. It's not eloquent. It's not science. It's not, whatever. But this pussification of society, because people don't want to say it like this, the overemphasis of making a man feel like less of a man is turning him into a woman. So now you have this, the worst thing that came out of this feminism movement is now you have let men take over your movement and put you down.
That's not the worst of what's come out of this feminism movement.
You want to know what? No, 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 no. Worse than a man.
Okay, here.
Man in fucking sports, in women's sports, breaking your fucking records and fucking taking everything away from you, where you can't get a scholarship no more because there's a fucking man dressed as a fucking female taking your spot, and you guys going, don't want to get canceled, so I agree with you.
Yeah. So there's a
not
book.
Hurt feelings. I think the push to not hurt feelings is hurting a lot of women. And I think sometimes you need to hurt somebody's feeling and be like, sorry, man, you can't play. You're not a woman. Sorry, I'm hurting your feelings.
There's a book I've brought up in previous podcasts. It's called The Invincible Family. It directly addresses what feminism has done to our society, to the nuclear family, and to contribute to what's happening in our world today. And I've brought this up in the past, and I kind of got, you guys gave me shit about it, kind of snubbed me a little bit, because it talks specifically about feminism. But here's the thing. It's exactly where I come up with and where I say, as a female, feminism, this new movement of feminism is disgusting. If you have any belief in the nuclear family and in the structure of a mom, a dad, and children, then you would find the same things as disgusting. There's a difference between what the original movement, feminist movement, was all about and what it has become today. They are very, very different. So I'm going to put this out there again for everybody, not just all of us on the podcast, but everybody that listens to it. The Invincible Family by Kimberly Ellis. Go listen to it. ELLS. Kimberly ELLS. And go listen to it or read it. Pick up the book. I mean, it's 7 hours to listen to it. I'm sure if you're a strong reader, you can read it faster than that. But read it and then let's have that conversation.
But no, but I agree. I think the original feminine movement was getting, you know, the right to vote, going into work, not being treated like as not an equal, right? Those are, to me, that's a basic human thing, right? Being able to, you know, not have somebody just look at you, punch you in the face and say, you're my property. Like, yeah, women shouldn't be treated as property. They really should. I know I took a lot of shit, but, you know, you should have the right to vote, go, you know, all the things that they fought for. But again, just like everything, it's been infiltrated with whatever crazy leftism. People put ideas. Yeah, well, leftism. Yeah. I mean, like, I was listening to Prager today and basically the same thing. He goes, there's liberals and he goes, there's leftists. He goes, the left, that's what I say is the crazy people with all this Marxist movement and everything, right? So this Marxist leftist ideology has infiltrated that feminine movement. And you see that with these young girls to where they go, I want, you know, and again, not to get political, but that one of the things with this new feminine, being effeminate and all this shit is basically saying, I want to be able to kill my baby with, you know, late term abortion. Like, that's just crazy, in my opinion. But
yeah,
but this is what this feminism movement has turned into. The goalposts have moved so fucking far that it's extreme that you don't even know. And again, if you question a transgender woman in sports, in women's sports, and you go, this is wrong, canceled. You're a transphobe. You're a piece of shit. Do better. What? No. I'm competing against a physical male. A born male that's got every trait, more muscles than every fucking female, running track, can lift weights, can break every record. That's why I can't wait for one to go in the NBA and start dunking on everybody and scoring 100 points. Then I want to hear what all you have to say.
Exactly.
Maybe your ratings
will go up, but come on.
As crazy as this going to sound, you know, I keep the penises away from me, please. Thank you.
Oh my God, what is it?
I agree.
It's not my
thing. What is that? I agree. I agree. I don't like this whole, we need to delete men. Because we shouldn't.
Wow.
We shouldn't.
Way to lump us all together.
Yeah, it's like, it's the stupidest thing ever. Like, we all need men in our life. I don't care how butch you are. I don't care. You are going to need a man in your life at one point. Just like I know I can bring Nelson to a brawl because he has my back. You know what I mean? Like,
I there's punch. No. I'll be a witness, but. Come yeah. Come at
me, bro. But we need them. We need to get off this fucking wagon of we need to delete men. No. Go delete yourself.
Who was it? I think there was Barbara Streisand. This was one of the Oscars. It was one of the Barbaras. I forget which one it was. But she goes up and gives her speech, and the you know. because there was movement. I think this was during the first Iraq war. So back in when Bush, and she won an award and she goes up. And again, this was during the whole, you know, anti-war movement, whatever. And so she goes up to receive her award and she says this speech. She's like, "This is to all the women in the world, because if women ruled the world, there would be no wars."
Bullshit.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, women create all these, like, at work, like I said, I mean, men, they hate each other. They avoid each other. Women will create alliances and, you know, backstabbing. And it's, there's all this drama. And really, there would be no wars. Stop it. Like, it's like, oh my God, I have this. They all have arch nemesis at work.
Prime example, little girls. What do little girls do? Little girls, they get mad at their little friend. And so they go behind that little friend's back and they talk about this person here and they talk about this person here. And in front of that little girl that they're destroying behind her back, but in front of her, they're smiling. Mm-hmm. "You're my best friend." Okay. Little boys get angry.
Little girls were evil.
Little boys, they get angry. They get mad. They're fighting with their friend, whatever. And what do? They drag them out into the front yard. They beat the shit out of each other. Whoever comes out on top, it doesn't matter. And at the end of the day, they're hugging each other. Yeah. They're best friends. And guess what? None of that other bullshit or fake shit just happened. And I see this. I mean, with the twins, especially, we've had these conversations on the podcast where I've seen it. I've seen the evil ugliness in these little girls. And I've on the other side of that, I've seen the boys where they go out, they have this duking out match of whatever it is, however it looks, and then it's done, it's over with the boys, and the little girls, they carry on for years. It doesn't just end. For years it will carry on.
I still hold grudges from high school.
So, okay. Wow. I can honestly just not that person. But
I don't know Jules that deep, but I know that's a fact.
Jules is like, no. I'm holding grudges from kindergarten.
Yeah. No, I mean,
you just triggered me right now.
I am one of the ballers, but one of the fist throwers, but that's reality. That's one of those big differences between the male and the female genders is, you know, to your point, you hold on to that. And to your point, to the same point, I still hold on to a couple of grudges. Back alley, dark, ooh, baby, I'll pay money for it.
Oh dear.
I won't. But
oh my God.
But no, seriously though, there's a lot of that. And I just, at some point we have to take a step back. I think that as women, we think, You because we're women, we have to hold strong and we have to hold true for women. At some point, we as women need to take that step back and look at it and go, is this healthy for women at right now? And we have to take a different stance. And for me, the new feminism movement is not something that I can stand behind. And I just can't. I can't agree with what is currently happening today.
Balance.
And there has to be a balance there.
Everything's a balance.
Looks versus smarts, both. We agree on that?
Everybody wants both.
But think about it.
I've made my decision on that, by the way. I'm going to go with handsome or good looking because, have you guys ever seen the movie Charlie Wilson's War?
Yes!
No. Mm-hmm.
There's a scene in there where apparently he was a senator from Texas and he had a lot of well-endowed young women working in his office, and one of his constituents comes in and asks him, "We noticed you got a lot." He asked one of the girls, like, "I notice you have a lot of these women here." He's like, "Yeah." His opinion is, "You can teach him to type, you can't teach him to grow tits." So I'm gonna be handsome and I'm gonna learn to be smart. Or wise, okay. To Nelson's point. I'm gonna learn to be wise.
So I know we gotta close this out, but remember in Infinity War? Have you guys all seen Infinity Wars?
Yes.
Avengers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What?
You haven't seen it.
So you remember how Thanos, his whole thing was about balance. Why he was killing the world, you know, it was about balance.
Balance.
And he always held that, you know, when he gave Gamora that knife and he's like, "Hey, perfectly in balance, you know." But that's what life, that was like, out of all the things out of that, everything is about a balance, right? So if the toxic masculinity gets too out of like it's too much. If toxic femininity, and we and right now we're at a point where we've seen everything is so extreme. There is no balance in this world at all. Everything is extreme. If you say the sky is blue, somebody's arguing the sky is green. You know, if somebody says, hey, the speed limit's 35, somebody's like, nah, it's 40. You know, like even if something is real and they say X, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, they are arguing it until they're dead. They cannot agree on anything. There is no balance at all. Plain and simple. All these topics, whether it's political, men versus female, all this shit we talk about, there is zero balance. Everything is so extreme. Even when you think you're balanced, it's extreme.
I do think that that's why I like to come here and get together with everybody on the Salty Show, because there is some balance. I mean, we all have our moments where there's a little imbalance on one side or the other. But when it comes down to it, there is quite a bit of balance in our conversations and in our show.
Yeah, I agree. Usually Tim is the unbalanced one, but you know, we're not. No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're all trying to balance.
And again, we all agree with that. There's the balance.
I see you squinting and smiling, squishing your face like, like, this is bullshit. I see a fucking frozen screen.
Oh, my bad.
We'll leave it
there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this episode of The Salty Show. Lively debate. I love these. We're going to do these for a few weeks. So we're taking a break from the crazy politics. And we're just going to talk about crazy men and women issues. Hope you're here for it. So, again, thank you. Follow us on some of the social media platforms. We're on Instagram. Again, we're going to start posting some of this stuff. So, if you want to keep up to date on what we're going to talk about, follow us, give us a like, share some of the content, and we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Guten Tag.
Later.
Peace out.
See ya.
Buy some condoms.
That's good.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Salty Show.com.